Union Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
Grant is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, the Digital Transformation Unit, the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, Kelly's Home Center, Ron's Electric Motors, and Wendy's.
It's the foundation that's rocking the nation. Howard Grant's the host, Guardian Radio Station 96.9. 12 to 2 is the time. You can call the show or use the text line. Yeah, he educates, he informs. He goes against the norm. He's really got that zeal. Plus, he's a child of God.
Foundation. It's the foundation. Foundation. It's the foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. So happy to be in your company. It's a beautiful day, ladies and gentlemen. I want to say something, right? And I don't want you to fight me for it, right? But my wife made me an entire single mother for a week. I just want to let you know that. I know your pain and your struggle that you go through. And, you know, I saw guys, I said, please, don't even look at me. For an entire week, I was a single mother. I had my two children, throw one on my back. I had my back throw out for the whole week, 9 days. And I can't get it rubbed down. My God, I just will put that out there. I just thought I would put it out there and kind of talk about it, right? I'm telling you, the indecency is rich. Listen to me. The whole time I was in Grand Bahama, I wasn't going to tell you all my business. But, you know, this kind of a pain in my back, it wouldn't subside. It would not just kind of eradicate. It wouldn't go away. It's still there, right? It's gone 9-10 days now. So I just want to let you know that between lifting them bags and them children, it's too much. And I want to pray a soft prayer for all the single mothers out there. Only God knows how y'all is do that with them bunch of children. Praise God for y'all. You're decent, you're building nations, and you're committed to it. We love you, and we pray that the Father continues to bless you and you move in the direction that you're supposed to go in. Listen, man, it's a beautiful day, Tuesday, June 13th. Guys, make sure you pick up your newspaper. Today is also, Tuesday is the day when we able to see, insert from Grand Bahama, the Grand Bahama News, is in there, so you can be able to pick that up and see exactly what's what. At the top of the paper right now, you see the Prime Minister Exuma flood was traumatic, right? At the top of it, it actually says, Davis flies in from Jamaica to assess damage. So the Prime Minister, Philip Brave Davis, who flew in from the meeting in CARICOM with CARICOM leaders in Jamaica on the crisis of Haiti, to tour the flooded Exuma yesterday. He said that the heavy rains caused a traumatic experience for many Exumians in recent days as a result of climate change, which is wild to me. I mean, not that it is not a result of that, but, you know, I feel like, you know, it set it up for these things. I'm indifferent with you guys. The guys, the lines are wide open. Be a part of the conversation today, please. Por favor, give me a call. 323-623-323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family violence, 242-300, 5720 or hit me up on the text 422-4796. You know where the deal is. Kind of hit me up and let's talk about these things. I pondered the conversation we had yesterday. And I tried to go back in my mind as to whether or not I said something contrary to what I was trying to convey. Did I not speak with clarity about this concept and idea of legacy? Or is there difficulty in being able to discuss these things? Right? I pondered that. All day yesterday, I pondered the thing. Went home last night and had shivers. I don't even know what that was. I don't even know what that was about. Right? It was wild. Am I saying that outside in the thing? I don't know why. But, you know, hear me in my 42-year-old body thinking I'm 15. I need to stop. Don't fight me. But I pondered it. I did. I went home and I said, did I not convey what I meant yesterday? Did I not convey the idea of there is an inevitability of legacy? Everyone has this sort of a memory. And if your legacy is that we can't remember you, then that's who you are. That's the legacy of who you are. If you're an introvert, if you're an extrovert, whatever these characteristics are that you play out on a day-to-day basis and sort of etch into the minds and hearts of people, this is who you are. So I thought about that yesterday, and then boom, we come into this paper, and the universe is fortifying the legacy that Prime Minister Davis is pursuing. It's fortifying it. He will be known. Give him 6 to 12 more months of this sort of course and action. This sort of course and action. You just give him some time. He will be known for this globally. They will call him all over the world to speak to events as it relates to climate change. And he will give references like what happened in Exuma, like what happened in Long Island, like what happened in Abaco, North Abaco with Dorian, like what happened in East Grand Bahama, like what happened over the course of time. He will. And I don't know if there is a very clear understanding. My only issue is it's wrapped in politics. Not what he's doing externally, but the kind of an idea of, well, we can hold off in being able to do whatever needs to be done home on the ground to be able to get people to vote for us. We can hold off because Bahamian people, they're going to get into election mode 12 to 18 months before the election. 18 months before the election. Then we can have to start doing things. Then we can have to do ribbon cutting. Then we can have to do this. That's just the rhythm of how things happen. But he is day in, day out, digging in, mining his proverbial diamonds in this position of climate change. He's a climate change warrior. Talk to me. And I don't know whether or not I conveyed that yesterday. I don't know whether or not I was able to say that, if you understood that. But that's just sort of, I feel as though he's doing more for climate change in terms of his pronouncements, in terms of his position, in terms of his articulation, in terms of his strength in being able to move externally, to be able, as in comparison to what needs to be done here on the ground, because there is deprivation. Somebody told me yesterday that, and I was kind of blowing it out of proportion, right? I was doing way too much when I started to talk about these particular things. But I think there's some things that it has merit. Lines are wide open, guys. Please be a part of the conversation. I see the thing here also. I want to talk about Sinan's MP also. Guys, make sure you pick up your newspaper. Make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. You can see that Sinan's MP, Bahamians under attack, rather, from taxes. It's heavy. And then Mitchell rails Pintard as Freeport's future hangs in the balance. I got a couple of telephone calls. Let me take a telephone call. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. But what you got to realize is when you put something out there, you could have about 50 to 100 persons listening to you, mm-hmm. and whatever they grasp, mm-hmm. at what you say, no matter how you define it and you cut it up, dissect it, put it back together for us, when I go home, I'm going to tell a different story. When the next person go home, they're going to tell a different story. Mm-hmm. When you don't know what legacy is all about, you have a problem. You see? And a lot of behemoths do not know what legacy is all about. You could have a great legacy. You could have a good legacy. You could have a poor legacy. Or you could have a bad legacy. It is totally up to you. And when you leave this earth, you what you want people to say about you. Okay? And some of our leaders, you know it and I know it. They don't, the legacy they're leaving ain't no great legacy.
That's why, certain people when get back now, see if they can fix that. Talk to me. I can't even get no email.
You see?
Huh? Certain people, I'm not going to call any names. You whistle, I point. Certain people are itching to get back to see if they could fix their legacy.
But, see, the problem I have with this, right? You have a chance to be great. Everybody has a chance to be great when the light is on them. Mm-hmm. And if you ain't ready, buddy, the camera's going to pass you by.
My God, talk to me.
Seriously, the camera's going to pass you by. You have to be ready. You have to be ready. You never know when. See, it's like being ready for your death. If you ain't ready, I'm a Christian. If you ain't ready, you're going to hell. Mm-hmm. So the same thing applies. You have to be ready for when your name is called, when you're called up on stage and say, let me see what you got. Do you want the part?
Mm-hmm. Huh? That's why you got to study to show yourself approved.
Okay, so what happens is this. You know, a lot of movies that are out there now, you look at it, you say, no, something? He did an excellent job in that movie. Then when you, a year or two later, you find out that, you know, the part wasn't really written for him, you know. They read it for somebody else.
Wow.
But because the guy wasn't ready, who they written the part for, he missed out.
My God.
And somebody else have a chance now to say, guess what? Let's look at Harrison Ford, the movie with Harrison Ford. Mm-hmm. They didn't want Harrison Ford to act that movie, though.
Which one? Indiana Jones?
Indiana Jones. Tom Selleck was supposed to act Indiana Jones. You understand me?
But we can't imagine nobody else there except Harrison Ford.
Okay.
He was excellent.
To me, I can't see nobody else. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong because I was wrong. When Daniel Craig acted 007, mm-hmm. I thought he would have done a terrible job. Mm-hmm. But he did an excellent job in the movie. Now he's going to be missed. Mm-hmm. He's the only one who killed James Bond off. Mm-hmm. The only one.
Wow.
You see? And now who are they going to get? Maybe good. Let's look at the next Batman movie. The last Batman movie was terrible. Mm-hmm. You see, so bring up a legacy. And I have no problem with you talking about legacy. Because we need to talk about it. Especially as men, we need to leave a legacy for our children for two generations. Mm-hmm. And it's up to us. Keep on talking about legacy
as
long
as you... A wise man leaves a legacy for his children's children. A wise man. That's what he does.
Okay.
That's what he does. I appreciate your telephone call, my brother.
Appreciate you too, buddy. All the best, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much. Guys, the lines are wide open. Please be a part of it. 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Violence, 242-300-5720, or hit me up, 422-4796. It's the next telephone call. Calling on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, morning, Howard.
Hey, what's up, Graham?
Wise man leaves some money for his children's children.
That's what you do. You got
to. You know, I look at legacy, I think differently. I look at legacy for me as like a suit. Let me tell you why. You want to leave this legacy, this fine suit, which you want to wear. Mm-hmm. But for me, I don't care what the legacy is. None at all. But you need to fix the place while you're here. See, that's the problem. I worry about what people can say about me when I'm dead. You know, real leaders don't worry about what people say. They worry about fixing the place. And what ends up happening is people end up saying good things about them mm-hmm. after they're gone, and we call it that great legacy.
Mm-hmm. But that's why they always you see a lot of old guys sit down and talk about the good old days, the good old days. The good old days could only be structured and left in this sort of a position in your memory, in your heart, based upon the men who worked during that time. So their legacy, you know, created an environment.
You know, I crush them.
Go ahead, Graham. Graham, you gone?
They cut me.
No, Graham, you're right here.
Hey, I asked those senior men, I said, what about the good new day?
Graham, that's your phone. Because you're live on my line, Graham. You're live on my line, Graham, so I think it's your phone. Give me a call back, all right? Guys, you know the numbers. Please be a part of the conversation. I just wanted to talk about that. I needed clarity. Is it that, because I listened to Papa yesterday, and Papa started to talk about, and I gleaned from it, this sort of an idea that I was detached from what's really happening on the ground, right? And how poor people need an opportunity to be able to get up and get out and find an opportunity to be able to find a position for growth and development. And our concern should not be legacy. I'm not building legacy for the prime minister. I'm not doing any of that. I'm only calling the shots as I see it. That's all I do. And maybe you didn't see this. Maybe this is, you know, went past. Maybe this is in a distance from your peripheral. But this is what the prime minister is doing. Whether you see it or you don't see it, this is what's happening. There's two prime ministers that we have. There's a prime minister for the Bahamas that speaks and articulates his position and his party's position in the House of Assembly and says that we need to move in this particular direction. And there's a prime minister that speaks of the Bahamas in a particular manner and leads with this concept and idea of climate change and the necessity to be able to shift. That's just what's happening. I mean, if you can't see that, then you can't fight me. This is what's happening. Read the papers. The prime minister pontificates ad nauseum globally about what needs to happen, wags his finger at the entire world, and says that our carbon footprint is minuscule in comparison to yours. You guys need to do better. In fact, why don't we work together? Then he went to PAC, then he went here, then he went there. All of these conversations, they merge. Read the article today. Read the article today. He goes in on the article. He says the report of the people were accommodated by the shelters. There's an expensive damage. See, there was an extensive damage to the roof and extended portions of the airport. Right? This is what it's saying, right? The prime minister says that these extreme rainfall amounts led to excessive flooding in Exuma, Long Island, and Long Island. There was also flooding in low-lying areas on other islands in the northwest and the central Bahamas. This is the Minister of State for the Office of the Prime Minister. This is Rota, right? And then he reported these particular things. Now, listen, if you read this story, even wrapped in this story, the Prime Minister takes on a position to say that we need to start not only saving lives, but creating an opportunity so we can get the funding to take care of these things. And I'm looking for it while I'm talking to you. Fortunately for us, we recently had a vulnerability study done for each of our islands by Pacific Disaster Center. We understand our vulnerabilities and we are addressing them. But the cost of addressing, see right here, but the cost of addressing adaption is enormous and we cannot do it alone. And the resources that we have just are incapable of causing us to adapt in a way to respond to the consequences of such catastrophic events, such as torrential rains that we see here today. Relentlessly, the Prime Minister is seeking external assistance. Relentlessly. Relentlessly, the Prime Minister is folding in a portion of his speech, the necessity for being able to get finances to help with this mammoth task ahead. That's what he's doing. even with Vice President of the United States of America coming down, Kamala Harris, the conversation was wrapped. You could feel it. What are we going to do? What are we going to do for the region? That's just what it is. And whilst I can't fight the prime minister for being able to take on the position that he's taken on, there needs to be more of this prime minister posture and capacity locally. In the newspapers today, and I want to be able to touch this just for 2 seconds, right? In the newspapers today, the prime minister actually goes on, well, I'm sorry, not the prime minister, Fred Mitchell in his capacity as both chairman and minister of foreign affairs and public services, rails Pintard as the Freeport's future hangs the balance. Now, I cannot say to you that Progressive Liberal Party chairman Fred Mitchell was wrong. I can't. But I could say to you that it's also wrapped in this political malarkey. And I guess you can't expect anything else from the chairman of the organization. But there are issues that needs to be addressed and dealt with accordingly. And I can't say that he was wrong in terms of being able to deal with these things. Let me see if I can read a couple of these things, right? The PLP chairman charged that the opposition leader made a grave error in opposing the prime minister's view. I thought this was wild. In opposing the prime minister's view that it is time for a decisive action by the government of Freeport. Now, we never knew what this decisive action was. There's never been depth and detail to what this concept and idea of decisive action is. And he says he's trying to have this his cake and eat it too. This is what Mitchell says. The problems in Freeport have nothing to do with the prime minister's statement. The problems in Grand Bahama Port Authority shareholders are unable or unwilling to carry out their responsibilities under the Hawksbill Creek Agreement. But that's not what we learned. Can we be honest with this thing? That's not what we learned. We didn't learn over the course of this 1 week and being able to speak to the principals over at the Port Authority, there was another layer of red tape created to be able to stifle the productivity in Grand Bahama by the government. Can I say that? There are layers of red tape on top of this sort of a carte blanche that the Grand Bahama Port Authority had at one point. And as a result, they kept being able to reduce it, their liberties in terms of what they did in Grand Bahama. And now they're at the position where they have to go through these red tape. That and whatever indifference is happening within the organization. I think Pintard is disingenuous in this kind of a position. And I said that before. I don't think that this is, and I got a call. I don't think that this sort of posture of saying that you're going to scare off people by being able to say what you're saying, I don't think that's right. We're savvy business people. These people have been doing business around the world. Okay? We don't have to continue to grovel at people's feet for them to be able to show up here. This is paradise. I don't think any of us understand that. I think a little bit more travel and understanding, watching a couple more documentaries, you'd understand that this is truly paradise. This country that we call ours. These people can't wait to get here. They cannot wait. They've been waiting for years. They've been yearning to have a little piece of the Bahamas. We don't have to gravel at their feet. They're going to come. So everybody in my position, in my assessment based upon what I'm seeing, I think Pintard is wrong. You ain't scaring nobody off. All you're doing is giving people ammunition to be able to come into the negotiation with strength over you. And because you have a mindset that you're scaring people off, then you would yield to anything and take pittance and take pennies for the value of what we have here. Somebody called me and said that 187 acres was purchased. 187, I think it was 187. 187 acres were purchased in one of the islands for about $1 million. I say, we're giving this place away. Are you out of your mind? What are we thinking? What are we thinking as a people? Are we that desperate? Come on, man. Let's talk about this. Let me take one more telephone call and then go to break. Call the other line with us live. Go ahead.
Good evening and hello.
Hey, how you doing? Good afternoon. How you doing, sir?
As it relates to legacy, it's easier for those to speak about legacy or even buy into someone else's legacies if you're a fan of the person who's leaving a legacy. If you have a political cronies who are getting rewarded or, of course, you could talk about legacy all day, but if you are one who was actually trying to make a way for your kids and your kids are you're hungry or you got school fees, you can't even worry about it. And because you feel it on the ground. Because right now, on the ground, people do feel like every time they get to try to see the claw their way up, there's another bill, there's another tax. Everything is going up. And those who may not be feeling it, you could talk about legacy and it's all good for them. But persons who are on the ground, and that's why I feel some people say this government or other people may be out of touch on what's really going on the ground level, because the average person can't even listen to the radio station because they're trying to find a way for their kids. You have kids. If your daughter or your kids say, "Daddy, I'm hungry," or you got to find a way. You don't have time to be worrying about if you don't feel it. Because at the end of the day, my last point on this is you might not know or worry or even remember what someone says to you, but remember how they made you feel. And right now on the ground, it's feeling like a lot of people feel like there's no way out because they get knocked down left, right, and center. Every time you have another tax, something else they got to pay for, everything going up. And when you look up, certain political persons who are networking the political atmosphere, you see them traveling, you see them getting contracts. So you feel kind of left out. You feel like there's a certain section or a demographic that's getting a pat on the back. And lastly, as a behemoth, even if you think you're doing it the right way, you see persons coming to your country getting a pat on the back for doing it the wrong way. So on the ground, the legacy, it don't feel good for behemoths who have to go to it every day.
I like this telephone call. I like your call, my brother. I do appreciate you. You're a good, decent man. I won't stretch it out for 2 seconds, then I won't take a break for 2 seconds. Now, legacy is the proverbial horn that you don't toot yourself. Talk to me. Can I get an amen? Legacy is the proverbial horn that you don't toot yourself. When the former Prime Minister Perry Christie took the sort of posture and position to say that I am now crafting a legacy, right? I'm building a legacy, right? And we, based upon his age and his years of commitment or his years of service, we knew that, but are you done? We knew that, right? We didn't foresee that it would go the way that he did, but we knew that his time draweth nigh in terms of his service to country. And then, even with the observation of others, being able to identify him in this particular posture and position, then we said, I think the Prime Minister should be winding up. But he said at that time, I'm crafting a legacy. He poured all of his effort and energy into the Bahama Hotel, and that became his legacy. Legacy has nothing to do with what you say for yourself. It doesn't. You don't toot your own horn in these particular capacities and positions. Others observe you, and based upon the observation, whether you day in and day out, once you're on your grind, once you're doing what you're supposed to do, this is a legacy. I use the example that you have. You think daddy gets up every single day, goes out and takes care of the children. My daughter and my children seeing that. No matter what the tribulation is going around, my daughter and my children see that. There's two things that should happen as a result of that. They become inspired, motivated, and move in this particular direction. And then they can carry this kind of an idea off to my grandchildren and say, well, your granddaddy did these particular things. This is what he did, so forth and so on. That's how legacy is born. So it doesn't matter if a man sits there and say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm saying to you, me, as an observer into this political layout, landscape of the country, I can identify where legacy is. The former Prime Minister did not do well from 2002 to 2007. Perry Christie, he did not do the best. He didn't. The Bahamian people rejected him after one term. He didn't. And he did everything he could to find his way back with not only into a position of power, but within the good graces of the Bahamian people to shift this legacy. It didn't work for him. It did not work for him. He poured his effort into Bahama. He lost after one term again. Minnis came in after Minnis was dismal. In his performance, something happened. You know what happened? The former prime minister quietly forged relationship. Watch me. With these two powers combined, former Prime Minister Hubert Ingraham, former Prime Minister Perry Christie. You remember when they went to Albuquerque? Totally rejected. That Minnis wouldn't listen to anything they said. They couldn't wait until his actual demise politically. They could not wait. Hubert Ingraham and his decency said nothing. But Perry Christie couldn't wait. His mouth was itching. He had to say something. Found the first camera. He said, well, you know, it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I looked for the prime minister. I said, well, you know, you lost this one, right? he said, well, you know, you lost this one, right? And then he said to me, he said, no, we got this one. And I said, I don't know where he's getting this from. He said, you know, I can help you with writing your concession speech. I thought it was hilarious. I laughed for about 2.5 days. I said, former Prime Minister Barry Christie don't play no games. You know why? Because he sat on the sideline to fortify his position. Because his legacy at that juncture was that he was the worst prime minister in the country. Can I get an amen? But it shifted when you got someone even worse. So the prime minister had to find his, the former prime minister had to find a position to be able to step back up a tier. That's it. That's just legacy. And these men and women in the capacity of leadership understand legacy. And it's what it is. Let's take a quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Introducing Wendy's new chimichurri cheeseburger.
Chimichurri.
That's how you pronounce it. Let it roll off your tongue. Then get ready for some ridiculously good flavor. Fresh, herby, garlicky, green. Chimichurri. It'll feel like a relaxing backyard get-together with friends on a Sunday.
Put in a burger.
Come meet Wendy's new chimichurri cheeseburger with our new Dave's Craft Lemonade. Wendy's different inside and out.
Alive believes loyalty is not without its rewards. We're offering you a summer full of deals to say thanks for sticking with us. Enjoy free roaming, free data, cash back, and more incredible deals with the certified fastest network in the country and top-rated service. Alive gives you something worth holding on to. Hold on to the best in the business. Alive. Believe in best. Terms and conditions apply.
My business couldn't survive without my credit card machine from Fidelity.
It's fast, convenient, and my clients love it.
My sales increase, and I can track my earnings.
Get your credit card machine from Fidelity today.
Call 356-7764. Fidelity, we're good for
you. At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Foundation.
foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, on this beautiful Tuesday. It's a gorgeous Tuesday. Can I say that? It's a beautiful Tuesday. So happy to be in your company today. Guys, the lines are wide open. If you want to be a part of the conversation, I want you to do that. Please give me a call. Somebody says, let me read this. Let me read this because indecency is rich, right? It says, Howard, let's move on from this word legacy because Bahamians are stupid. Everyone leaves a legacy, good or bad, whether they want to or not. We killing this topic. This is what he says, right? And then also it says that Pintard is opposing for opposing sake. We can't keep allowing the Port Authority to collect taxes, but the government have to keep fixing everything, right? That's a text. And there's another one text comes through. It says, Bahama is not Christie's legacy. His legacy is gaming and how he was helped to cripple his people with gambling. That is bananas. That is bananas. There's a text that came through. It says, Grandma of Alcatel. Hey, Howard, what's going on? I don't know. I don't think Grandma's an Alcatel, right? And Will Smith was supposed to play Neo in The Matrix. While the Prime Minister could speak to us about global warming, who is going to speak to us about crime? And don't say Rodney. There's a text that's coming through. These are texts that are coming through, guys. Please hit me up, 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300, 5720, or hit me up, 422-4796. That's the text line. You can be able to read these things. It says, Howard, itching and scratching around my cow. Shh, this is a text that's coming through, right? It says, don't know what the topic is today, but I think that an outrider policy for the police force needs to be looked at as they are making these roads very unsafe while they speed up and down for funerals and events unnecessarily. The roads are already small, and instead of going to light or corner and allowing the traffic to flow and speeding through traffic with the procession in chase, this has to stop before someone is seriously injured. Can you please address? Then, on the other hand, there is the new act of going down the wrong side of the street if the traffic is backed, going through intersections and going the wrong side of the street. Now, let's just be very clear about this outrider policy, because I wasn't here on the island when Vice President Kamala Harris was here. I wasn't here on the island, but I did see the layout, right? I did see the procession, right? And I looked at it, and I asked my wife. I said, "Well, what the hell is this?" And she said, "No, this is protocol based upon the dignitary that's coming in. You have to create a path to ensure that there's ease and accessibility, so forth and so on." So I can't fight you with these things. I don't get into this. I know that the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, the Royal Bahamas Police Force is quite capable as it relates to what needs to be done, especially when we have international dignitaries on our island. Is there any consideration given to the fact that this is a necessity? I think that we, as Bahamian people, we reject this sort of a notion and idea of quote-unquote celebrity. There's often this conversation that says, even Michael Jordan was here, people just say, hey, what's going on? Bahamian people are not kind of wrapped up in this fanfare, for the most part. We aren't. Right? We're busy too. Who you think you is? Who you think you is? You think you're better than me, right? That's just what it is. But we have a responsibility to the international community to ensure that when these people are on our island, on our soil, that we could take care of them, whether it be the royals, whether it be United States dignitaries, diplomats, so forth and so on. It's important that we, enact all the protocols to ensure the safety of these persons while they are in our care. The last thing you want here is that a dignitary had this accident or that accident, so forth and so on our soil in the Bahamas. That's the last thing you want here. That's the last thing you want Fox News to spread left and right, far and wide, thin. That's the last thing you want. So let these particular persons in their official capacity do what they're supposed to do. It's their job. You and I have our own job. They have their job. And I believe that they do their job well, for the most part. I ain't gonna fight them, okay? So I just want to kind of put that out there for you on that. I don't know the protocols because I do see it as it relates to, maybe I'm going to have to ask someone about it. I do see it when you have, I don't know who in these limousines, but sometimes we have outriders in the Suburbans, outriders in the, I don't know what it is. I don't know how this thing works. I don't, right? All I do when I'm in my truck, when I'm on the road, is pull on the side. Amen? That's it. I don't get in people's business. Now, I did see a few weeks back, there was an accident with the prison guards and a vehicle, right? I didn't get any much depth and detail to that, but I saw that the vehicle was in bad condition. You understand? But I think we all need to be able to respect the authority of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, Royal Bahamas Defense Force, and their capacity and ensuring that they keep our environment safe. We can't just ride around just assuming that, oh, these fellas don't even want to get on this trial. No, listen, that ain't my business. I see people don't even want to get off the road for the ambulance. Y'all need to stop. You need to stop. Pull over. Pull over. And whilst we're talking about pull over, I just want to say this. Grant me this portion, okay? When your people car breaking down, I just want to say this to you. This is a public service announcement. When your car cut off in the road and you're drifting, drift your whole car off the side of the road, please. Nothing I hate more than your car break down and the back wheel still on the road with all the hip in the road. That don't make no sense. I don't understand it. Get off the road entirely. If your car drifting, use your and it shut off, and you still got a little taste of drift left, drift completely off the road. Nothing I hate more. And you all need to stop fixing your flywheel in the road in Nassau. My God, these people don't get... Where is the police? How you gonna have a whole mechanic in the middle of the road fixing your... This is wild. This only is happening in Barbados. I never see this nowhere else. And I say, I travel all over the world, but people record crazy things. I never see nothing like this. How are you fixing your hub, your flywheel in the road? You need to stop it. You all need to stop it in Nassau in Jesus' name. Amen. You can't be in the road. You got, stop it. How are you going to fix your tire in the road? No, stop it. That's the text that's coming through. I just wanted to kind of put that out there. Oh, this is how you're taking the outrider thing out of context. I was talking about funerals, man. Oh, okay. You said outriders. Okay. So it says, why some behemoths so... Y'all, stop saying stupid, please, right? The vice president don't sit in traffic anywhere in the world. We only have a few roads in this country. They have to secure leaders. That's 100% correct. 100% correct. Behemoths were gambling before Christie. He just made it legal so people can hold a legitimate bank account and get legitimate loans. Liquor was illegal too at one point, but not post-independence. At one point. Okay? Says Howard. Man, you see this new logo from BTC? Yes, I think it's nice. Y'all leave me alone, right? So this is Howard. I need a local cable provider to start offering Fox News as a basic channel. Don't diss them. Don't diss them. I am sick of trans news associated with MSNBC and CNN. That's Fox. Oh my God, you're getting heavy. See, the police too busy flying past burling sirens at all hours of the night. He says, but we are not safe. The criminals run wild. People drive down the wrong side, overtaking 6 and 8 cars, guns rampant. There are no police anywhere. He's a text, guys. Come through. Give me a call. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. But you know, we got to take a commercial break and then get to news on the other side and then talk about these things. I want to get a little bit deeper into this thing for Grand Bahama. I really want to do it. I want to be able to give you the contrast of what I see from a political standpoint and what really needs to happen for productivity purposes as we move forward in those particular areas. The lines are open, guys. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720, or hit me up on the text, 422-4796. This is The Foundation with Howard Grant. We're going to take a commercial break, get to news, and be right back after this.
Foundation. The 6th edition of the Bahamas Games are on the way. July 7th through the 15th, get ready for inter-island sporting competition in the spirit of unity and camaraderie. Which island is gonna win? It's the Bahamas Games. Our nation, our talent, our games. And look out for the B-Games crew coming to your island soon. For more information, call 809-1242 or visit thebahamasgames.org.
Make your morning sizzle with breakfast from Burger King Nassau. Enjoy not one, but two delicious sausage and cheese croissant sandwiches made just for you for only $5.75, including VAT. This breakfast classic is made with Burger King's savory sizzling sausage and melted American cheese on that classic buttery croissant you love. So say hello to sizzling mornings at Burger King with two sausage and cheese croissant sandwiches for only $5.75, including VAT. Only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
To the world, he is your dad, but to you, he is the world. Shower your dad with love with a gift from Kelly's House and Home's Father's Day sale, Friday, June 9th through Saturday, June 17th. Save 20% off selected tool sets, luggage, and fishing, diving, and camping gear, except on net items. Shop at Kelly's House and Home on Saturday, June 8th, and if you are standing on the lucky spot, you could win a gift basket for dad. Visit our Facebook page for more information. Shop Kelly's House and Home's Father's Day sale June 9th through 17th. Happy Father's Day from Kelly's House and Home.
My Gateway has marked a major milestone. Over 100,000 registered users worldwide can now enjoy secure access to over 60 government services online. There is much more to come because our digital transformation journey just keeps getting better. What are you waiting for? Sign up at mygateway.gov.bs today. My Gateway, making government work for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
The Foundation. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. The lines are wide open. If you want to be a part of the conversation, please do so. The numbers are out there, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720, or hit me up with the text, 422-4796. Let me see if I can read this text, because this is a mouthful. I won't be as decent as, oh my God, this is a lot, right? This is a lot. Let's see if we can be able to read this. It says, Howard, wake up, please. The Prime Minister is restating the problem over and over again. He's trying to become a other Greta Thunberg, right? Where are the solutions? Is his legacy going to be the restraining or the restating of the problem? Where are the solutions? The Bahamas is doing its share. Per capita, we are the great volunteers that the U.S., China, and Britain. Bahamians seem to forget that we are the biggest problem to ourselves in this climate change debacle. We have shoddy infrastructure, bad civil planning, and dumb leaders who compound the problems. We have cruise ships plowing throughout our waters with our permission and experts and exerts more CO2 than 5,000 of our cars daily. Wow. We import vehicles without any emission control standards. We use bunker fuel to power needs and kill the environment and oil spills and the like. We destroy all the trees on 20,000 square feet of land to build houses that are only 2,000 square feet. We destroy the reefs and the mangroves in the name of golf courses and tourism development, and we call it progress. We do more damage to ourselves than the so-called developed countries that are complaining about and seeking help from. That we are complaining about and seeking help from. We are the problem to Earth, like the COVID virus was to us. Nature is retaliating from what we have done. The Prime Minister can never correct his legacy. Go to the newspaper archives and read the controversies between political and personal that he has been embroiled in. The Bahamas is full of a soldier crab leaders. They cannot develop their own leadership ideas, but instead, like the soldier crab, use someone else's lead to grandstand. Midgets with microphone. It's heavy what you're saying. You know, I alluded to it when the Prime Minister stated what his position was as it relates to this climate change and really being able to push that out. It just doesn't equate on the ground. And in fairness, as we speak, in fairness, he's clearly indicated this the difficulty as it relates to being able to shift this environment. And I think it is. I think we've become so consumed with the comforts, the creature comforts of fossil fuels and other things. I think that we've become so comfortable with it that we cannot see it as a part of our life. It's a good point you make. We cut down 20,000 acres or 20,000 square feet to build a 2,000 square foot house. These things are good. This is a good position that you're saying. But the Bahamian people, whether it's proximity, whether it's because they're big eye, whether it's because we just recently come out of this sort of a segregated period where there has been a very clear line between what we could have and what we couldn't have, this kind of an insatiable desire to get more and more and more and more, whatever it is, whatever this may be, Bahamian people are not going to put this down right now. And the Prime Minister is going to have a hell of a time to be able to shift the mindset that exists on the ground. But I believe that's where leadership kicks in. because it cannot be one of these casual questions that we ask. I think they take liberties as it relates to ensuring that they enact taxes, increase rates, so forth and so on, and talk about the fact that this is the good of the land. But when it comes to making decisions for growth and development, when it comes to making decision for longevity and expansion, when it comes to making decision to enrich the Bahamian people, I don't see leadership making those decisions. I don't. The Prime Minister will come back to us and have this conversation year in and year out about what do you think about this, public consultation, consideration, but not make that sort of a leadership stance and say, hey, we're going to get rid of the carbon fuels. I read in the budget debate where he started to talk about the family of islands being able to take on more alternative energy sources and that being able to grow in those areas. But the bulk of our, energy consumption is here in Nassau. I remember John Boswick was talking about an LNG plant right off the coast, right? A floating LNG plant. I think it was a floating energy plant right off the shore. That didn't go anywhere. I remember former minister, an MP, we know him, Potcake, was taking on a very strong path and to talk about alternative energy sources and what needed to happen there. That didn't happen. Is it because of the treaties, the relationships that we forged to be able to ensure that we can always be able to use this fuel? Or is it because of the fear of change? The Bahamian people are comfortable with where they are. They're comfortable. I think the Ingram administration, you remember that? You remember when the Ingram administration shifted the what kind of cars you could bring in? We was going to the States and getting 1995 cars. We was getting them old cars. We was doing everything. And one day he went into Parliament and he says, is it not now? Now. And if your car was in the, and you was waiting to get your car out, nope, you had problems. And you couldn't get your car within 10 years. You had to get a car within 10 years. You remember this. Listen, I believe that their leadership has a responsibility to be able to make the tough decisions. And I believe that just as a great deal of people speak about former Prime Minister Hubert Ingram, the tough decision to be able to shift the direction of the roads and the flak that he got and the fact that he actually lost that year and how businesses closed and how the Coconut Grove business and Eatrick Bow and so many others actually stood up against the former Prime Minister Ingram. And now we look at these particular businesses and say it's a better flow for the city. The only issue that a great deal of us have is the bottlenecking. We go from four lanes into this one. It continues to be able to bottleneck. And there needs to be sort of an engineering course that gives us an opportunity to be able to get an overpass, do something, to be able to fix this traffic, this issue that we have right there at the bottleneck. The line's open, guys. Please be a part of the conversation. Let me take this telephone call. Call you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Yes, how are you doing, Howard Grant?
Hey, what's up, Seattle? All is well?
Yes, sir. I saw that you touched on Grand Bahama. But I think what you touched on, too, is concerning the carbon imprint has a tremendous influence for those of us on Grand Bahama. Mm-hmm. As you know, we are the capital of Hurricane Ali. Mm-hmm. And any hurricane passing through the Caribbean somehow seems to be attracted to the beauty of Grand Bahama.
I like how you put it like that.
We are in a powerful position, and I understand what the Prime Minister is attempting with his moving the conversation to be the pilot whale, if you want, for lack of a better word, because the ocean industry is very important. Mm-hmm. In the conversation concerning SID, Small Island Development States, and its impact, like global warming and climate change has on this community and our contribution to the emissions that takes us there. An important thing to note is that I've had the opportunity to speak to the Minister of the Environment in regards to the direction we're going to take and his relationship with the messages that the Prime Minister was carrying. I think it has been to a disadvantage to him and I guess the government that they have not laid out a progressive conversation or messaging to include the Bohemians. And I kind of use the expression in preparation for the opportunities that that may bring, especially for those of us in Grand Bahama. And you may ask, what am I speaking about? I'm speaking about the green economy. I'm speaking about the blue economy. I'm speaking about the ocean economy. I'm speaking about the carbon economy. I'm speaking about the climate economy. And I'm speaking about the knowledge economy. And all this that is directly interrelated to the multi-trillion dollar economic models in each of those that's being developed. You know, I've mentioned to you and others concerning my wife and I have developed a concept of the aquamarine economy that encompasses the strengths of each of those five, incorporate the data economy, artificial intelligence, and both the knowledge and knowledge-based economy. It's a show that one day I would like to do. But when you look at the strength of those economy, each one of those, if you Google them, you will see it's an emerging trillion-dollar economy.
I've heard that, C. Allen. I've seen that. Well, you know I've been in Grand Bahama for the past, or last week. And that has been a recurring topic, the blue economy, the green economy, the blue economy. Is this the direction that Grand Bahama is going in, conservation and being able to identify these things?
Actually, this is the direction Grand Bahama needs to go in. Yeah. And that's why where I think what is being lost in this debate is that you've heard from the government of the Bahamas saying we will do something. We've heard from the Grand Bahama Port Authority, or at least one of the principals, saying we are trying to do something.
Yeah.
We have not heard an inclusion of the people in either of those conversations as to how they could be involved and how they could assist. And so here it is that you have the government of the Bahamas speaking about these multi-trillion-dollar economies. You have Mr. Rupert Hayward speaking about two of these multi-trillion-dollar economies, the blue and the ocean economy.
23 trillion, yeah.
But no one in the Bahamas, but they're not speaking together, and no one in the Bahamas is aware. Then, from a personal conversation, and I hope he doesn't mind, and well, if he does, too bad, that the Minister of the Environment has demonstrated a certain level of awareness and confidence in what the potential is for this. Now, I don't know if there's a policy or strategy that they intend to eventually reveal, but I think the mistake, and I expressed this to him, is that we are not being taken along the way. And so we are being told to prepare.
You mean we the people?
Yeah, we the people. Okay, we're being told to prepare ye, prepare ye, prepare ye. Great things will be happening, but we don't know what the great things is, and most people don't even know the steps necessary to take for preparedness. And so here it is that you have, and I agree. First of all, let me say for the Grand Bahama, right? I agree that since 2001, the beginning of the 21st century, we have not, and that's when 9/11 started. And so Grand Bahama has been in a negative going direction. Now, if you read the Hawke's Creek Agreement, not the noise in the marketplace, read the actual agreement and understand what it is. It's a living document. It never said this, and this would happen. What it did was it created an environment that allows growth and stimulus as a free trade zone. Now, it's the fifth one to ever create in the world, but the Hawke's Creek Agreement became the gold standard for the hundreds of trade zones that came after it. But yet, we have never fully moved to capitalize on any of the incident revelations or what we call revolutions that have happened over the years with it. Now, in spite of us high use expression, being silent, right? We are now in what we people call the first convergence revolution, second digital revolution, third technology revolution, fourth industrial revolution, fifth social revolution. And the world has changed. The world is shifting. And so the mere fact that this shift is occurring, and we are now a centerpiece as out of the, say, 20 different possibilities of technology around the world. In fact, let me just insert this here. I would challenge anyone to go to artificial intelligence, whatever platform you want to go to, and ask the question very specifically. You say to these artificial intelligence platforms, name me one economic model that exists today that is not involving technology or impacted by technology. And every one of the six major platforms will tell you, we know no such, there is no such thing. And so for us to ignore the possibilities that's available for Grand Bahama, now let's go back to how, if you go back to 2000, you can hear, 2002, the incoming prime minister and the outgoing prime minister at that time both screamed, Grand Bahama, so goes Grand Bahama, so goes the economy of the Bahamas. It was repeated in 2007, 2012, 2017, and 2021. And so here it is, the prime minister is now in parliament reading the same thing. So goes Grand Bahama, so goes the Bahamian economy. And we have seen that as Grand Bahama economy has shrank, so has the Bahamian economy, in spite of the GDP growth, is jobless growth and empowerment-less growth. And so the point is that Grand Bahama is the linchpin to our economic revolution and our involvement in these global messages that is about to happen, because we have the landmass, we have the ocean.
So what do you think needs to happen? What do you think needs to happen from this juncture? Well, because we're seeing this kind of an indecisive position, this broken lack of communication between the Grand Bahama Port Authority. And then within the Grand Bahama Port Authority, there is also this lack of communication or coherence to one objective. It seems as though that no one's on the same page here, whether it be the government, the GBPA, whether it be the private sector stakeholders. What needs to happen from this juncture? Because I'm hearing, like I said to you, so many persons talking about the blue and green economy in Grand Bahama and what needs to happen thereof. What do you think needs to happen strategically in terms of steps? Give me three steps. One, two, three, so we can be able to get to productivity.
The first step is that we have to have a meeting of the minds, putting down egos, putting down the past. We know where we are, and we know where we should be. Now, we can set an agreement right then and there to say, we are going to deal with the errors of this mistake. But in the meantime, in dealing with the errors that we've done in the past, that may take 3 to 5 years.
Okay.
We don't have 3 to 5 years as a people.
Okay.
However, each people are singing from the same hymn book, just in different churches.
Mm-hmm. So that's one, meetings of the mind.
Right, meetings of the mind. And that has to include government. It has to include the people, more so the licensees of Freeport. Howard, remember that. I want people to understand. Mm-hmm. The Hawksbury Creek Agreement is a trust. It's a trust for between the Bahamian people, the licensees, and the Grand Bahama Port Authority.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to get back to the fullness of that trust.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing after the meeting of the minds is to set down a strategy, collective intelligence of all of us, of one that embraces inclusivity as it defines the economic models we intend to pursue. And I mean no one left behind. Remember I said this is a trust between all Bahamians. That means from Inagua in the south to Bimini in the north. And so that means we have to have a conversation so that all will understand how do they participate in the offshoot of these economies that may be stationed on Grand Bahama, but has impact across every single island. Because this may be the headquarters, but the skill set and things we're going to do expands beyond that.
Okay.
The third thing that we need is immediately, it requires the building of a multi-trillion dollar economy. It requires the intelligence here of the behemoths that are parked offshore, as well as foreigners. So we need to have a reasonable, sensible, lack of emotive type environment on immigration reform. So so that we can move to protect citizenship as Bahamians have been demanding. But at the same time, having an environment like the places like Singapore, Taiwan, Hong Kong we talk about, where they have 6 million people in Singapore, but 2 million are citizens, and their citizenship is not threatened.
I like this.
Instead of the giveaway that we're doing, so that we can have the intellectual capital. So that means that we need legislation about immigration. We need refinement of intellectual properties to make sure that what is developed here stays here for the benefits of Bahamians, and a host of other categories of licensing that is needed. And so essentially what we need is, you know how you have that word national development plan, mm-hmm. and the Port Authority have their reef plan and the economic recovery plan. We need an amalgamation of those. But we don't need no more planning. We need strategies of action to move forward as to how do we build a Bahamas, an inclusive Bahamas, and that includes the Bahamians here and across the diaspora. How do we build capacity? How do we build an environment for growth and development? And when you talk about Grand Bahama, how do we go back to the original concept of a document that's meant for the development of Grand Bahama, of Freeport, Grand Bahama, and the Bahamas as an extension? Let's look at where we went wrong. Where can we use it? Because the document is still a wonderful document. The problem is that the co-pilots of that document somehow over the last 25 plus years seem to have grounded the plane and have not taken flight to the economic possibilities and the exploitation that's available from the use of this document. But now that we move into this, this is the first time you have five different revolutions happening at the same time. So this is an opportune time to put away the egos and says, now let's look at this with fresh eyes. Let's look at this as an opportunity, and let's look at how we can protect the integrity and restoration of the Hawkes-Peak Agreement for the benefit of all Bahamians.
See, Alan, I like these three things, my brother. I appreciate your telephone call. Thank you so much for your contribution. You said we got to be able to have a meeting of the minds. We got to be able to set a strategy for inclusivity, for economic models. We got to be able to deal with and building this multi-million dollar economy. So we have to look at immigration reform and refining of intellectual properties. I think that these are three wonderful things that we need to be able to kind of expand on. I'm grateful for this, my brother. Grateful for the opportunity that you can be able to contribute. Ladies and gentlemen, let me take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
The foundation.
This is the Nagico Insurance Tip of the Day. Today's tip, know your insurance representative. Is your insurance representative on your side? How do you know? Insurance representatives are either agents or brokers. Agents work in the interests of the insurance company, while brokers are representatives of the client. But here in the Bahamas, some brokers are actually tied to specific insurance companies, thereby blurring the lines between agency and brokerage. This is why you should know your insurance representative. Are they truly independent or tied to an insurer? Do they offer various options from various insurers or explain key policy conditions? Because your insurance representative is your guide through the complex world of insurance. Today's Nagico Insurance Tip of the Day, know your insurance representative.
Buying a home is one of the most important investment decisions you'll ever make, so it's best to insure your home for the full replacement value. If your home is underinsured, the condition of average could apply and reduce the amount you'll receive if you make a claim. Ask your insurance agent about underinsurance and condition of average before you purchase or renew your home insurance policy. For more information, visit www.icb.gov.bs. This message was brought to you by the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, live and in full effect. Really being able to chop it down today. The lines are wide open. Please be a part of the conversation, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720, or hit me up, 422-4796. That's the text line, so we can be able to do that. Let me see if I can read a few of these texts before we get out of here. So it says, good afternoon, Howard. The New Providence traffic is a direct result of the lack of proper public transportation system. What we need is the will to address it. We don't need to widen roads. Once it remains public transportation system is in place, allowing for persons to move about for $25 per month anytime between 5 a.m. and 3 a.m., we would see a big drop on traffic. It is less expensive to go this route than redesigning the island to accommodate more vehicles. You know, okay, let me talk for me when I read this. I like this. In a way, I do agree with you, in a little pinch of a way, but not heavily. Let me tell you why. The concept and idea of independence is ingrained in our DNA. The idea that our coming of age is to acquire something. That's for us. Most of us, black and brown out here. Those of us who scraping our way out of poverty. The idea, the accoutrements, the things that we acquire as we scrape ourselves out of this proverbial hole of poverty. Sometimes, shouldn't, but sometimes it gives us value. It's unfortunate, but it's what it is. It's a conditioning that we've had in this society. The idea that you could acquire, own, and move about, not just with a driver's license, but your own vehicle, gives you a sense of independence, a sense of value socially. I have my own car. That conditioning can be eradicated, but it only can do so through education. Let me tell you why. Because you will go to Brussels, you will go to the U.S., you go to New York, and you will jump on public transportation. And you're content with that. You're no problem. You get you up and down the city. You do your thing. You don't have a problem with it. But when you get back home, there's a conditioning that says quietly, oh my God, I got to get off this public bus. I got to get my own car. So whilst I do agree with you that this could be able to eradicate some of the issues that we have locally, I want to be able to say like almost everything that's happening here. You need more education. And I'm not talking about public consultation. I'm not talking about town hall meetings. I'm talking about strategic conversations with children, the next generation, to say that this is the course that we have to take. When they start to talk about the blue and green economy, when we start to talk about water keepers and others in Grand Bahama, they are in the schools. The issue that so many persons have with what the LGBTQ community is doing, oh, how are you coming from? Let's go there. The issue that so many persons are having with the LGBTQ community is that they're going into the schools. And you know, once you can be able to capture the mind of a young child, that between the age of 0 and 7, that they will never depart from this information. They're like sponges during this time. And if the next generation of the Bahamas needs to be able to find itself in the proper position and align itself with what's coming down the pipeline as it relates to global climate change, as it relates to financial literacy, as it relates to empowerment in various areas, these things can happen, but it has to happen with the next generation. It has to happen with that. I think some of us are sort of crystallized and solidified in that proverbial old dog manner. You remember when Grandma used to say, you can't teach old dog new tricks? I think some of us already, you know, we already become that old dog. We're content. We resent the concept and idea of change. And we reject the government that tries to institute or issue that, that tries to be able to deliver that change to us. The only change that can happen, if you're really concerned about the new direction and course for the country, you're going to have to do that with kids. We continue to be able to huff and puff and pout and talk about this idea that there's 5,000 children leaving school every year. But they leave school to get right back to get in the same rat race. They're not contributing anything. They're doing the exact same thing that their parents have done. And that could be good or bad. But for the most part, if we're looking at customer service, we're looking at the lack of productivity, we're looking at these things, it's bad. So we have to change our minds, the hearts, the spirit of the Bahamas through the youth. And it's going to have to be a deliberate effort. Let me take the telephone call. Caller, you're going to have... Caller, you're on the line with us. Hey, live. Go ahead.
Hey, what's happening, man?
All is well. What's it?
I listened to Fiala's contribution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think he had the ball at the park.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the couple of the issues with the Hawks Bay Creek Agreement, first of all, I think the Hawks Bay Creek Agreement is a beautiful document.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it is a living document.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with the Hawks Bay Creek Agreement, government and the Port Authority refused to sit down and meet and discuss the Hawks Bay Creek Agreement. You know, 90% of the people, in my opinion, who comment on the Hawks Bay Creek Agreement never read it, never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part of the Oxford Creek Agreement where amendments can be added, changes can be made as long as both parties agree to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if the government and the Port Authority sit down and discuss the Oxford Creek Agreement in terms of additions, deletion, amendment, I think it can happen. The problem is that government and the Port Authority just keep bucking heads. I think the last time the government and the Port Authority met, remember under Ingram administration, remember when they built the courthouse?
Mm-hmm.
Then they built the police station. Then mm-hmm. they built St. Jacquewood. Then they built
St.
George's Primary.
Mm-hmm. High school. Both those are high schools, yeah.
Exactly. That was mm-hmm. because Ingram and St. George, they sat down and met.
Mm-hmm.
And those four entities came out of that meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Ingram is a man of action. He's always been that. He's always been, this is what I expect when I want to get in here, this is what I want. And you can get that. He can get what he wants.
But again, if he did meet with the Port Authority, this would have never happened.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last time the government touched it was when Christie, when he formed a committee, and they made the amendments for the stamp tax in the industrial sector of Grand Bahama.
Mm-hmm.
That section of the Oxford Creek Agreements was expiring. And I think Christie renewed that. But former Prime Minister Christie renewed that.
Mm-hmm.
So they were the only time any government had any interaction with the Port Authority. Outside of that, government's just been talking on what they think should happen or what should happen. You know, people need to realize that Grand Bahama and Nassau are two completely different animals.
Yeah.
And I don't think people get that. What happens in Nassau will never happen in Grand Bahama and the Port Authority area. That can never happen.
Mm-hmm. I don't think people have a very clear understanding of what the agreement is and how Freeport itself is an entity unto itself. That people don't understand. Because I'm reading these texts and people say, well, the government have to do these things in Freeport. What are you talking about? What are the government doing in Freeport?
And therein lies the problem. The government has certain obligations to live up to as per the Horsley Creek Agreement, as well as the Port Authority. The government is not living up to their expectation, as well as the Port Authority.
Mm-hmm.
And until those two sit down at the table and discuss the way forward for Grand Bahama, we can always be talking back and forward.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, 90% of the people, in my opinion, who comment on the Horsley Creek Agreement never even seen the document, talk about reading it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, if you read it, and if you understand, I don't quite understand the Horsley Creek Agreement. I've read it. I've got bits and pieces from it, but I don't quite understand it because it has some legal terminology that I'm not a lawyer, so I don't understand. I try my best
mm-hmm.
to research whatever I don't understand. But, you know, I think people just need to sit down and read the document and try to understand it, and then they'll have a better understanding of it before they comment on it.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate your telephone call. Oh, no, you got some more. Go ahead.
Also, with regard to the blue and orange economy
okay.
in Grand Bahama, the reason why Grand Bahama nor the Bahamas will never benefit, number one, of our natural resources, because we don't know what's being exported. We might know who's exporting it, we might know where it's going, but we don't know how much it's going. So how can you benefit from something what you don't know, what you can't properly account for?
Mm-hmm.
How can you be compensated for something when
now,
you don't know
now,
how
you say,
much is being moved?
When you talk, I'm sure you meant the blue and green economy. So what are you talking about, export? What are you talking about?
Let's say, for instance, aragonite.
Okay.
Can you go to any government official, any government office, and ask them how much aragonite they were?
The information is definitely accessible.
But can you trust the information? Where did the information come from? Bahamas landfill moving, just a company I just put out there. Bahamas landfill moving, they have a contract to move 100,000 tons of aragonite per month. And they give the report to the government every month that they move 100,000 tons. Who's to say they're not moving 500,000 tons?
So you're saying that they should have an authority to be able to police, identify, weigh, make a determination, and then tax accordingly?
The government should have an official. The government should have their eyes and ears on board. In each of these islands, each entity that is being mined so that it can be properly compensated for it. Most of the numbers, I heard the minister gave a presentation also of 70, but how much billions and billions of dollars our natural resources is being exported. Those numbers he pulled off the internet. Those numbers he pulled from these companies. Can you trust these companies to say what they're moving? If you tax them for it? So if they paying taxes on 100,000 tons, you honestly think they're going to say they're moving 100,000 tons? Because it's their documents.
But I don't believe that they operate in dishonesty. I don't believe that I don't believe the longevity in the existence of a company like that.
When there's no oversight, you'll be surprised to see what people will do.
Wow.
And we've seen it in many, many cases. There's a particular company in Grand Bahama. They haven't paid their business license in but 10 years. But still, they were operating every year.
Wow.
They haven't paid their government business license in but 10 years.
In Grand Bahama or Freeport proper?
In Grand Bahama, not Freeport proper. And they had a government business license.
Okay.
Not to mention, BAIC is a minority shareholder in this company.
BAIC? Okay, you give me
BAIC. And again, BAIC, they own the land that this property sits on. And like I said, they are a minority shareholder. So,
and these people ain't paid their business license in 10 years.
Well, not to mention, BAIC get a percentage of what they do.
My God.
Can BAIC trust what these people do?
Wow.
When you haven't paid your business license for 10 years, can you trust them to give you proper numbers?
I know some people in right here in the city who ain't paid their business, but I ain't getting people business.
They're not tied to the government.
Yeah. I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. I do appreciate it. I appreciate your contribution in these particular areas. And I want to say this. I think that the government, the idea I think that the ease of doing business, the difficulty in being able to step into business is where the problem resides externally, right? The ease of doing business is only that first step. There's so much red tape after that first step. But after you actually get yourself solidified, after you get yourself nestled in this position of business, the government has always been hands-off. Always. They've allowed you to be able to operate your business until there are sort of social advocates and other persons are saying that you're doing this, this, and that. And then the government kind of, jumps into action. Says, oh my God, are they doing that? And then they try to get into it. But the truth is that the government's been hands-off. They don't get in people's business. The government has been hands-off. And whilst they're hands-on as it relates to property tax, they're hands-on as it relates to anything that the inland revenue has to do in terms of tax collection, they're hands-on in terms of VAT, they're hands-on when it comes to us internally as people. I feel like the government views us the same way that you say. The government views us that if we give an inch, they will take a mile. So they always ensure that the proper protocols are set, that there are margins. They may give you a little leeway, but they expect you to be able to perform accordingly. That's the people of the Bahamas. But when it comes to business, and I think that the commercial enterprise bill can be able to show you that. When it comes to business, for the most part, this kind of a insatiable desire to be able to have foreign direct interest, the foreign direct funds in our country, they're kind of hands off. They're hands off. Former administration, no matter what conversation was going on globally as it relates to stem cell research, globally there was an indifference about it. And the former administration gave license for an opportunity to be able to see that happen in Grand Bahama. You understand? Like, they're hands off on these things. They say, okay. That's what you're going to be doing? All right, no problem. Sounds good to me. And they kind of just go with the flow. And also proximity affords them the opportunity to do that. But for the most part, government's hands off. And thus, they could never know the value of things that's being exported out of our country. Because they don't see this country like one of the rich African countries that has a great deal of exports. I think I was just watching this thing the other day. There's 10 major African countries that actually do exports in the billions annually. Billions. And so because, a lot of persons will say that, we don't have nothing to offer to the world. And reject the idea of our aragonite. Reject the idea of our aggregate. Entirely. And so whatever we get from that, $2 a ton, or well, I don't know, I can't remember the numbers. Whatever we get from that, they're content with it. And then you try to figure out why Queens coral flooding. And then you try to figure out why people's house in 8 Mile are called breakup. These are the issues that you're having. This would exist in this space. So I agree with what you're saying. There needs to be more policing of these businesses when they come here. But there needs to be more education of what these businesses are. Only when you get to the nitty-gritty, when you see something like FTX, right? A lot of persons won't claim that they know anything about the cryptocurrency. But when our country found itself in a position with FTX and Sam Bankman-Fried, right? When our country found ourselves in that position, everybody dug down and tried to be able to start the research and what this is and what that is and why is there no stipulations and people could be able to identify. All this thing, we start to do research. There needs to be a proactive effort to ensure that you can safeguard these things before these people come in. Should that not be a part of the vetting process? Should that not be a part of the vetting process? That someone should be there to understand these things and that can be able to say that if you're going in the right direction or the wrong. You can't let these people police themselves. And that's what's happening for the most part. These people come to the country and police themselves. Because we just, they don't know anything about it. Let's make it as difficult as possible. The lines are open, guys. I see the telephone lines lighting up and coming back off. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from the family of violence, 242-300-5720. Or hit me up, 422-4796. This is Howard. Do we have a national plan where is the national plan the Christie administration started, right? So text is coming through. It says, our government already doing the work. If the Port Authority, so why, I suppose it's of, so why is the FNM don't want it? Didn't the FNM get the hotel and the airport? We need to take back power in Grand Bahama. This is text coming through. Let me take a telephone call. Calling you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Howard Grant.
Good afternoon, my brother. What's happening with you?
Everything is all right. Yeah, yeah. I thought I had my number in your phone. Apparently, this one, the screen had cracked, so I didn't have the number, but I think I got it, right? Yeah, I wanted to touch on something very important. I listened to Seattle talk about Freeport.
Mm-hmm.
So the last time I was to Freeport, you know, I would have been 9 years old or 8 years old. And to me,
jeez,
it was better in the States back in the days. You know, like my uncle was the manager of the Lucaya Hotel. I just remember it as a fun place. It was always clean and spacious. You know, we used to, like, be kind of adventurous. You know, we
go. You haven't been to Freeport in forever.
Yeah, it had to be in Lucaya where he was living because the Holiday Inn was close by. I don't know the area at all. I have no idea what Freeport looked like. The last time I've been in Freeport, I was about 8 or 9 when mm-hmm. Grammy died, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, Howard, I just wanted to share this with you, right? I want to share, you know, the thing is, the narrative of Bahamians being toxic to death is literally correct, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll paint this quick picture. All right? Now, we see, a lot of people are talking about foreigners. So I have a Haitian Bahamian who's coming to my opposing shop. We saw him in a conversation the other day. And he said to me, we was just having a conversation in general, because I think he born in Freeport. And he was telling me, he told me, he don't get in Bahamian politics, but the government should revise this Hawksbill Creek Agreement, right? You understand me, is that? Now, that's a foreigner saying that, okay?
That's heavy. He don't get in Bahamian politics, but he get deepened.
No, but it's like a barbershop talk thing, though. But the thing is, Howard, I want to share this with you. Remember when people started talking about the Airbnb, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the rapacious money ghouls swooped in on the Bahamians as far as taxing the Airbnb, right?
Yes.
Yes, they were quick to do that. But I want to mention this to show you how foreigners get along very well by ducking the government and the Bahamian have to pay the tax, and they're using the taxpayers' money to fund their agendas, right? Which is really pathetic and sickening for me. We need about 60,000 downtown. That's what we need. I'd be like I'm having sex,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I can see 60,000 Bahamian downtown on a national effort and cut all this schism and all this BS. Here's what's appalling to me. An illegal migrant comes into the country. The only set that go into the bush and build. Now, they build some of the structures that we have seen, they would be apartments. They would be able to house a number of migrants that they house any which way. They're still facilitating them, which is illegal. But then what's make it worse is they're renting to migrants, and they're not being taxed, and they didn't pay building permits. So I don't know where Mr. Prime Minister, I don't know if he's superized, robotized, whatever, right? I could invent a new word and all.
I like it.
All right? Yeah, because what happens
robotized, is... Robotized. I like it.
Because what happens is, Mr. Grant, it is sickening to me that they swoop on us for the Airbnb, right? Right or wrong?
Yes.
But then the Haitians...
I thought it was a horrible Airbnb thing.
I'm just trying to be a little jokey here, humorous. They have Airbnb because once the migrants come in and you rent to them, this is why you see so much of them are able to afford rent. They just pool their money together and they just rent to the new migrants coming in. They're not being taxed,
mm-hmm.
okay? Now, what I want you to do is, Mr. Grant, with the fool who still believes the earth is flat, right? Let's have a chat so I can dismiss him once and for all. I know you don't have geography or level because I'm very ignorant, but I have enough sense to debunk him in 1,000 ways. So if you want to bring on the conversation, Richard, I really hate to do this, right, Howard? I even hate to even entertain the flat earth BS, right? But I was surprised, man. You don't even read these texts no more because it's frivolous. It shows that he's limited. Bless him.
You don't even read the text no more? That's a text that came through, right? So I just going to be able to read it, right? No, but I hear what you're saying. And I was the first person, I believe, and I don't want to be able to sound like that, but I was appalled when I saw former minister of tourism and good friend Denicio De Aguila stand in the House of Assembly and talk about the concept. Well, before they actually tax it, they talked about the concept of being able to tax it. They talked about, remember they taxes also for it was Facebook. I said, oh my God, these people ain't gonna stop. We can't live nowhere. Airbnb taxing and on Facebook taxing for marketing. And I thought this is peculiar. And I said to myself, why would our government take on this sort of initiative, not understanding the economic plight that exists in this space and time? With the independence that we seek and that we run after in this country, the fact that you could be able to have your own space, your own home, and you can exist and take care of your family, so forth and so on, is the pride of the Bahamas, is the pride of the Bahamian people. And when you have to make a modification with new technology concepts and ideas that exist globally, and bring that locally and modify your home to accommodate people that you do not know just for the sake of survival, I thought it was barbaric. Because people didn't do this casually. This was strategic and a necessity. People had to pay bills. People losing their homes. Their mortgage was due. And now all of a sudden you can get $150 a room night? And so people ran into that. I had a friend at the time, which is wild. I thought it was wild. I had a friend at the time rent out his house at Airbnb, as an Airbnb, right? And then he calls me and asks me if he could stay with me. You say, Howard, can I stay here? I have a pull-up couch, right? So my wife said, what you doing? I say, he wants to stay here on the couch. So he stayed a couple of days. I didn't have a problem with it. You understand? But I thought it was weird. But I understand people need to survive. They're doing their best to survive out here. They're contorting, shaping, shifting, doing everything they can just be able to survive. Many people kind of give up to this and find themselves at the bottom of a bottle. But some people, they want to get out of this hole. And in the midst of you scraping and scratching and climbing out of this hole, the government puts another tax on your back. I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong. They didn't provide any initiatives. There wasn't any incentives, right? Like the Prime Minister said yesterday in the newspaper, we can do this because we have one, incentives, and two, integrity. There's no incentive and there's no governmental integrity. So when you just continue to levy these taxes on our back without giving us a leeway, an incentive to say, if you're going to go Airbnb, the government provides you these concessions. If you have an Airbnb, the government will do these things. We'll make a modified hotel agreement for you and provide you these particular concessions. None of this. Just tax. The devil is a liar. Ladies and gentlemen, that's been the show for today. I want to thank you so very kindly for being able to tune in and be a part of it. I thank you so much for being able to do that. You're good and decent. Tomorrow, I got my guy Garth. He should be here. He's traveling the world now, right? Let me stay out of his business. Garth will be with us tomorrow. God spare. So we're going to be able to do that. I should have, I think Kendra's going to be here also. So we're looking forward to that. Guys, have a beautiful day. Enjoy your time. We're going to see you here tomorrow on 96.9 FM Radio, The Foundation with Howard Grant. Stick and stay for Shivago Lang with Z Live right after this. Have a good day, guys.
The Foundation with Howard Grant is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, the Digital Transformation Unit, the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, Kelly's Home Center, Ron's Electric Motors, and Wendy's.
The Foundation. The Foundation.